Good day, friends. We again come to you. And may I say that the great desire of my own heart is that every one of you who listen into the program may be greatly enriched in your own life. It's not enough for us to have our minds and our intellects full of truth, or to even know the truth in an intellectual way. And I'm not opposed to that, don't misunderstand me. But unless that truth becomes part of us, it does not transform our lives in what I'm sure the Lord wants to see are transformed lives. As we had in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, of how these people at Ephesus, they believed the gospel, and the truth which Paul taught them by the Spirit of God became a part of their life. So they gave up all their necromancy and stopped all their books on exorcism and so on. Their lives were transformed. And because of their transformed lives, it affected the great worship of the image Diana, which was in that great temple, one of the seven wonders of the world, right on the skirt, on the outskirts of Ephesus. And when one thinks of the impact of transformed lives, in fact, you can't estimate such power, such impact. A person can know all about doctrine and argue and discuss it and be intellectually well-versed in doctrine and know so little of a life in Christ. Now, I'm a great stickler for doctrine. Don't misunderstand me. But you have to have teaching. That's what doctrine is. But that truth must live in your heart and my heart. And the thing that affects people, makes a greater impact upon them, is not so much what you say, though that's included, but a transformed life, a life that has been brought into relationship and fellowship with the Savior. Now, this is the purpose we're on the air. This is why we're day by day trying to give out the Word of God. This is why we take books of the Bible and expound them, that you may know what is the mind of the Spirit of God in the writing of that book. And each book has a distinct purpose. It's not a conglomeration of things. God is very, very exact in what he has to say. And each book has a special message to give to you and to me. And in the book of Acts we have the Lord Jesus Christ living, working, speaking through his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have the same experience of being a channel of blessing to your generation. Now, Paul had called the Ephesian elders to him on the shore at Miletus. And Paul wants to go to Jerusalem, as we had in chapter 19. He wants to go to Jerusalem, from there to Rome. Not as a tourist, but as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, as an ambassador for Christ, representing the only Savior, the wonderful, glorious, eternal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before he leaves, he's on his way back to Jerusalem. He stops, goes by Ephesus, and stops at Miletus, and he invites the elders of the Ephesian church to come over and have a chat with them. He's concerned about them. You remember, he was there 3 years in Ephesus, and the Lord wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus had a great place in his heart, possibly one of the outstanding churches of the first century. Now, we had in verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, the spirit of the ministry. I'm not going to go into it again. We've gone over this, except I want to repeat, for those of you who didn't listen or were unable to get the last lesson, this man, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was so transformed, his life was so transformed that there was only one great passion of his life, and that was to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was low-minded, he was tender, he was patient, he was meek. Believe me, this is no light proposition, giving out the Word of God. This man meant business for God. And again, I say there can be no compassion for other people in our ministering to them until there's a passion for Christ. See, we have power with God first, in power with men. And then we took up the fact that that Paul was very diligent in his ministry. He kept nothing back from them. He gave to them the whole counsel of God. He was always giving out the word of God. Talk about diligence. Always giving out the word of God, publicly and privately, even from house to house. He neglected neither Jew nor Gentile, you see. He was all things to all men, if that by any means he might save some. And even persecution did not keep this man from ministering the word of God. Hated by the Jews, despised by the Gentiles, but a great love for the people of God and a great passion for the Savior. And hence you have his devotion. My, how devoted this man was. So we could say, he could say in 2 Timothy 4, that he had finished his course. He had done the job God wanted to do. I trust you and I can say that. That when you and I stand before the Lord of glory, we stand there because we have finished the job he gave us to do. And every believer has a job to do. It may be just taking care of your family, taking care of your business for God. Doesn't expect everybody to be a preacher or a teacher. Everybody isn't a missionary. Some go, some stay. Some sow the seed of the word of God, others harvest it. You see, each one having a distinct place in the body of Christ, like you have in Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. Now we come down to the third thing about his ministry, and that is the theme of the ministry. In verse 21, he testified to both Jews and to the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, the end of verse 24, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. In verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. His great job was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Do you know, when I think of this, I can't help but think of it. And I've said this before, that when Paul went, he went in fear and trembling, that their faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And my, how the Lord loved precious souls. And this love for precious souls had gotten a hold of the Apostle Paul. He was so in love with the Savior. His great passion was Christ. He wanted nothing else but to reach people with the word of God. Now let me get this before you. In verse 21, he preached repentance toward God. I would suggest Thessalonians chapter 1, the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where it speaks of the fact that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Real repentance. He turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who had delivered us from the coming wrath. Repentance toward God. Change your mind about God, you say. Repentance. Just like Job, I've heard of thee by the hearing of mine ears, now mine eyes see thee, I abhor myself. Here's a question of where the apostle, where Job never saw himself until he saw the Lord. Same with Isaiah, same with Daniel, same with Peter. You go on down the line. Once you get a real glimpse of the Savior, and everything else takes its rightful place. And then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That means to put your trust in the Savior. And so I would suggest to you today, as we take this up, the theme of the ministry was a person. Was a person. Not some organization, not some religious feeling or some emotion, but a real person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Acts chapter 17, the third verse, he proved and alleged that this Jesus was the Christ. In verse 18, he preached Jesus and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:3, the gospel which we declared unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then was seen. This is ever the center of Paul's message. Always the theme, Christ Jesus. Like you have it in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, whether Jew or Gentile. For in this gospel, in this good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Whether the man's a jailer, or whether she's a successful businesswoman, or a philosopher, doesn't matter who it was, as you read through the book of Acts, all the kinds of folk. You take chapter 16. Here are the Thessalonians who turned to God from idols to serve the living unto God. In chapter 16, a successful businesswoman, Lydia. Possibly the demon-possessed girl, when Paul cast the demons out, I wouldn't be at all surprised if she came to know the Savior. Or the Roman jailer. Just think the kind of people God has in his church, among his people. He takes up any kind of person. The gospel is the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believeth. Always, always did this man Paul speak of this thing of repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he bought us for himself. May I take you down to verse 28, just for a moment. When we come to the warnings, we can get the burden of the ministry. But while I speak of the work of Christ, allow me to take verse 28. You listen to this. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock of God, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What I'm trying to get to you, the gospel of the grace of God is concerning the love of God for men and women, for sinners. And he bought us with his own blood. And the word there, if I were to be technical, the Greek word there, peripoyeomai, to buy something for yourself. Shall I say this? And be understood that God looked upon you and he loved you and he paid for your redemption and he bought you for himself. When you become a Christian, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of God's treasures. Not only are we God's children, but we're God's treasures. Do you remember in Colossians 2:3, God has hidden in Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Chapter 3 of Colossians, our life is hid with Christ in God. Where? Where God has his treasures. I love to think that the Lord looked down on Mitchell and I was fit to be crucified. I should have been a cursed thing. And he loved me enough and sent his son to take my place. Not only to die for my sins, but to die for me. I become his treasure. He bought me for himself. Oh, listen, Christian friend. I just hope this gets right down into your very vitals. I don't care about your head. I know we need our heads, and I know we have reasons, and we have intellects, and we have wills. I know that. But oh, to get the truth right down into your very vitals, that the Lord loved you enough when you were his enemy, enough to buy you for himself. He bought you for himself. No wonder when Paul says to these Ephesian elders, you take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God, over the which he's made you the overseers. What for? To feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He bought you for himself. We're God's treasures. And don't you think God will take care of his own treasures? Of course he will. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. That he's my father. That he's your father. That he really loves you with an everlasting love. Even though he may permit tests and trials and afflictions and sorrows, they come into your life. I know that. But he never leaves you for a moment. And he could deliver you in a moment if he wanted to. But he's working something out. He's working something out in you. He's working out something in you for his glory. You see, you're his treasure. He bought you for himself. And he's going to train you, and he's going to fashion you. As Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his craftsmanship. We are his workmanship. And when God gets through with you, you'll be just like his son. When God gets through with me, I'll be just like his son. Why? Because he bought us for himself. We're his treasure box. Oh, will you just take a moment, my Christian friend, and think of that? You are God's treasure box. You belong there. And he bought you for himself. You know, sometimes you and I go down to the store, and there's something you want so badly, and you look at it, you look at the price, and it's just what you want, but you haven't got enough money for it. So what do? You go down there, after you've collected your nickels and dimes and quarters and dollars, and at last you've got enough money to buy it. You go down there, and you purchase it for yourself. Somebody didn't give it to you. You bought it for yourself. This is something you really, really wanted, and you took it home. Or if it was too big, you left it in the will call, and you said to your husband, you come on, or whoever it is in the family, you go by the store, go by the will call department, and there'll be a package there for me with my name on it. So you go to the will call department, and you say to the girl, whoever's in charge, you've got a package there for Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Whatever your initial may be, they go, and they find in that bin your package with your name on it, and it's sealed. And they give it to you, and you take it home. It's yours. You bought it for yourself. It's a peculiar joy to buy something for yourself. And my Christian friend, you go and look in the looking glass. Why in the world did God choose you and pay for you? And he bought you for himself. And somebody said, well, Mr. Mitchell, what are you doing down here? Oh, I'm in the will call department. One of these days he's going to call. Take me home. He bought me. And there's no power on earth or hell can take me out of his treasure box. We are sealed in Christ until the day of redemption, as you have it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Or in chapter 1 of Ephesians, the Spirit of God has become the earnest, the guarantee of our inheritance, which will be manifested when our Lord comes for his own. I like this. I don't know about you, but I just love this thing. Now then, one more thing in the passage. The burden of the ministry, verses 28 to 32. And here's the warning to the elders, and I have just mentioned some of it. Take heed to yourselves, and to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The responsibility of the leaders, the elders of the churches, to take care of God's people. God has put a tremendous responsibility upon them. That's why Paul says in one of the other epistles that they are to acknowledge, to hold in honor those who are over them in the Lord, because of their work's sake, because of the position God has given to them. So you have it here. But their responsibility, my responsibility as a teacher, as a pastor for many years, was what? To feed the flock of God over the which he had made me an overseer. Because the flock of God is his treasures, which he purchased for himself. Now, the warning in verses 29 and 30. What is the warning? There are going to be certain people come in there. Wolves without, fightings within. When I know that after I leave you, grievous wolves are going to enter in. What for? Not sparing the flock. You remember in John chapter 10, our Lord spoke about that, about the wolves coming in, not sparing the flock. And these false shepherds, they run away and leave the sheep. They don't have any heart for the sheep. But he's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Now, in verse 30, not only are there the wolves outside, false teachers, who would lead you astray, but on the inside will be of your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. They want to be the center of attraction. And I'm sorry, but we are living in a day when this is true. Now, allow me to say a word to you concerning this. Because we're living in a day when there are so many false prophets, so many false teachers, and even among yourselves in our churches are men who want to be the center of attraction. And Paul is warning them concerning this. God bought us for himself that we might be to the praise of the glory of his grace, not to the glory of any man. Now you revel in the truth today that you are his purchased possession. He bought you for himself, and rejoice in him today.